start. My name is Verlon Brown, and I'm a Lutheran pastor from Seattle, Washington. And you may wonder, what do you know about stand-up comedy? I did stand-up comedy for about 8 or 9 years, and I'll tell you how I got into it. While I was village pastor here, when you live here for how many? Who here has lived at Holden for more than a year? Anybody? If you have lived at Holden for more than a year or two, and we were here for 3 years, when you leave, you go to a life of underemployment or unemployment. And so I was there in Seattle. I was underemployed. My wife was, you were employed or underemployed? I don't know. We were somewhere in there. For about a couple of years after we left here. But anyway, I've always liked comedy because I grew up watching Ed Sullivan and those guys on the Ed Sullivan Show. My parents used to get a kick out of them. I don't know, Toady Fields, remember? Who remembers Toady Fields?
Sure.
And Rowan and Martin and just all those guys, the Impressionist guys, and all those people who used to come on the Ed Sullivan Show. So anyway, I sort of grew up liking comedy, but never had the nerve or the time or whatever to actually get into it. So I was just someone who appreciated it. And I saw a class where you could take a class and you could learn stand-up comedy for like 6 or 7 weeks. And then the final class was that you got to be at a comedy club, you got to be a part of a show. Your class would put on a show and stand there and give, you know, 3 minutes of material that you had written over the 6 or 7 weeks of the show. And so I did that, and that's sort of what got my feet wet in terms of doing stand-up comedy. And so that's something I would like to offer for you all. If there's anybody in here who would like to do some material, the last class, we can do that. Throughout the class here, throughout my sessions, I'm going to teach you how to do stand-up comedy. And so if you got some stuff you've been working on or there's stuff that's in your head that you would like to do, we can do that. We'll provide you some time and with my coaching, and hopefully we'll have a few people who want to do some stand-up stuff. So my goal is that this is going to be like a conversation, you know, where we talk about comedy. A lot of stand-up comedy is sitting in a club late at night, listening to guys you've heard 100 times before, and talking about comedy, gossiping about other comics and famous comics, and hoping that a famous comic comes through. They do, would come through, and in between shows you kind of sit there and you know, talk comedy with some famous comic. I met George Carlin and Cheech Mariner.
Marin,
is that his name?
Yeah.
Cheech
Vermont.
And Chong?
Yeah,
that guy. I sat and talked with him, and this other guy whose name I can't think of, is it Moody? I can't think of his name now. But anyway, that's my little claim to fame, just sitting there doing that. So if you have any questions or anything and you want to ask them, feel free to ask. There's two things I should let you know. Number one, I'm legally blind. I got 10% of normal vision, so I may not see your hand if you raise it. So just shout your question out. Number two, I can't spell. It doesn't bother me. I hope it doesn't bother you. And so anyway, so I'll start by talking about comedy has changed over the years. When I was a kid, the comics were all radio comics. They had gotten their start in radio, and they were used to talking to people who could just hear them and not see them. And they're what I would call two-dimensional comics. People who did comedy for people who couldn't see them, or if you did see them, they were just standing there delivering their comics. Even though radio was gone in the early part of TV, they would just stand there and deliver their jokes. That's what Bob Hope did, George Burns, Jack Benny, those types of comics. And over the years, comedy has changed and has turned into three-dimensional comics. And that's where you get the Robin Williams, the Richard Pryors, the Bill Cosbys, the people who act out, who do something. You don't, when you go to see those guys, you don't expect them to just stand around flat-footed making jokes. They become whatever it is they're talking about. And that's where comedy has gone to today. And so, you know, I can teach you how to do that if you wanna do that. Mm-hmm. So, any questions so far? All right. So, I got a list of jokes that I got off the web. Who wants to read just a few jokes? Who doesn't mind reading?
I don't mind reading.
All right. You get the Bob Hope jokes. Let's see. Who else wouldn't mind reading?
All right.
You get the Jack Benny jokes. And let's see.
Well done.
Do I have...
it's automatic reflex. Yeah.
Okay, so read a few. Read the ones that I've marked that there's...
Just start out like the Bob Hope ones?
Huh?
Like...
Yeah, you start with the book.
Okay. Well, these are jokes on aging.
Oh, I didn't mark yours. I'm sorry.
No, this
just read a few.
Read a few? Okay.
Just so we can get a feel.
On aging, on turning 70, you still chase women, but only downhill. let's see. On turning 80, that's the time of your life when even your birthday suit needs pressing. On turning 90, you know you're getting old when the candles cost more than the cake. On turning 100, I don't feel old. In fact, I don't feel anything until noon. Then it's time for my nap. On giving up his early career, which was boxing, I ruined my hands in the ring. The referee kept stepping on them. Should I read some more?
That's it.
That's good. Okay. So
we get the gist of the Bob Hope material. And you could just see Bob Hope standing there with his golf club in his hand, flat-footed, telling these jokes, just ripping them off one at a time. And the thing about Bob Hope's jokes is that they were kind of personal, but you really didn't know anything about Bob Hope, his inner life, at all from his jokes. You know, you knew he was getting old. Well, you could see he was getting old. You know, stuff like that, but you didn't know anything from what goes inside of his head, what's going on in terms of his thoughts when Bob Hope would tell a joke. And Bob Hope had something like, he had hundreds, well, he had, at one point, he had 100 writers, you know, so he had tons of writers cranking out material for him. So, and it was just that, so it wasn't personal stuff, it was just guys who wrote for him. They kind of knew what his character, his stage character was, and they grinded out stuff for that, and he just read them off. Okay. Jack Benny stuff.
Jack Benny stuff. Give me golf clubs, fresh air, and a beautiful partner, and you can keep the golf clubs and the fresh air. I don't deserve this award, but I have arthritis. I don't deserve that either. Okay, this is one you circled. You understand. I'm going to read this one. I went to a meeting for premature ejaculators. I left early. He circled it. He really did. And I gambled at the crap table all night and finally lost $8. But during that time, the house gave me 4 drinks and 2 cigars. So it was still a lot cheaper than running a room. Okay.
All right. So those are the jokes of the guys that a lot of us grew up listening to, and that's how they told the jokes in those days. So now we're going to go to how to write jokes. So for those of you who want to learn how to do comedy, this is lesson number one, how to write a joke. There are 2 parts to a joke. Who knows what that is?
Set up in a punchline?
Exactly, set up in a punchline. What's a setup?
What comes before the punchline?
Everybody's a comic. Okay, that's true. You're absolutely right. But a setup, all a setup is nothing magical about it. All a setup is something that actually happened. And the thing about it is that today's comics, there has to be an element of truth in your joke. There has to be an element of truth. Jack Benny's joke about going to the meeting for premature ejaculators and having to leave early. There probably wasn't an ounce of truth in that. Somebody wrote that joke, gave it to him. Okay, you know. But today's comics, there has to be an element of truth in it. So all of your setups has to come from you, from something that happened to you. A definition of a joke is our reaction to something that has happened to us, basically. That's the definition of a joke. So your setup has to be something that comes from you, something that happens to you. And it can be something as simple as, I went to Holden Village. You know, so you say, I went to Holden Village, and that's your setup. And so, and a little later, I'll show you, what I mean by that. But, so the title of today's sessions is called Insult Humor. And so I'll teach you how to do insult. And the thing about insult humor is that it's so basic that everybody knows how to do insult humor. But it still goes with the setup and punch. You know, there's the setup. What's the setup to a Yo Mama joke?
Your mama's so fat.
So fat.
Right. Your mama's so fat. Your mama's so stupid. Your mama's so tall. Your mom, whatever the subject is, that's the setup. And then the punch is, of course, the other part. And so how you get to a punch of a of those jokes is that how you get to the punch of those jokes is that you ask questions. And the questions that you ask is stuff like when, where, who, what, and words. And so this will help you get to those jokes. So let's go with fat, you know, your mom is so fat. Okay, so you know what the setup is, your mom is so fat. So what goes with fat when you think of fat? Who's fat? Who are some fat people?
Albert. Santa Claus.
Albert. Santa Claus. Who else?
Jackie Gleason.
Okay.
Jabba the Hutt.
Not that anybody remembers.
Jabba the Hutt. Jabba the Hutt.
Jabba the Hutt. Okay. Who?
Garfield.
Garfield.
Garfield the cat.
Oh.
He's a fat cat.
got a few there. What goes with being fat? What happens when people are fat?
You don't fit.
Eat, okay.
Into doors and airline seats.
Don't fit. What else?
You fall and you can't get up.
Okay.
Clothes.
Can't get up. What else?
Just a lot of weight. It's heavy.
Stuff breaks.
Okay.
People make fun of you.
Well, since we're doing that.
Let's cover it up.
Anything else?
Can't see your shoes.
Okay.
Hard to find clothes.
Okay. Where do you see fat people? Where do fat people go?
McDonald's.
Buffet.
Fast food restaurants.
State fairs.
State fair.
The
belly dancing.
What else?
The state fair.
State fair.
Have you ever been to the state fair? Come on.
Belly dancing.
Walmart.
Oh, that hurts.
Somebody said McDonald's.
Oh, okay.
Okay. Yeah. Nude beaches. It's always the wrong people.
Nail salons.
All right.
The one that's getting the.
Let's see. When is there a win for?
No.
For fat people?
Well, meal times.
Okay.
Dinner, dessert,
yeah. Shower time.
Oh my God.
I'll put it down, but I don't know what to do. What else?
State fair?
State fair.
Fried stuff, you know.
Fried stuff. Where would that go? Maybe I'll put that under words. Fried food.
Where would sumo wrestler fit?
Maybe under who?
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 A sumo wrestler
in the ring.
Anything else for when you'd see fat people?
Baseball.
Baseball?
Baseball games.
What'd you say?
Baseball game, they take up two seats.
Airplanes.
Yeah, when you're on an airplane.
Yeah, airplanes.
Well, we're all fat on airplanes.
We're all
fat.
Yeah, we're all afraid of them.
Turnstiles.
Ooh.
Turnstiles.
Yeah.
And with when, it would be often.
When is often.
Okay.
All you can eat
competitions.
Oh,
okay.
Pie.
I don't know. The winners of the All You Can Eat Hot Dog, Joey Chestnut, and some of the
tiny.
Yeah.
Wow.
So, anything else under words that you can think of?
Round.
Round.
Roll.
Large.
Fluffy.
Fluffy.
That one's been used.
I'm fat and fluffy.
That's right.
Jolly.
Okay, yeah, jolly. Okay. All right, we'll just, for time's sake, we'll stop that one. And then we'll do just the opposite here for skinny. So, what would go under these same headings for skinny?
Olive oil.
Olive oil.
That's a person.
That's a
who.
Person.
Yeah. Oh, that's a
person.
I was going to say.
Fat fashion models.
Who?
Fashion models.
Fashion models.
Twiggy.
Under who?
Twiggy.
Twiggy.
Under who?
Yeah, right.
All right. Anything else for words? Where, when?
The bathroom.
Where?
Swimming pool.
Oh, God.
The gym.
I'll put throwing up under
There you go.
That was a dancer. There was a lot of that.
Purging.
Yeah, there's a lot of
them. Auschwitz.
That's dark.
Now, yeah, that is dark, but that's fine. That's perfect.
That's the question.
The only problem is I can't spell Auschwitz. So I can't spell this. I can spell Auschwitz.
A-U.
Would that be underwear?
That would be weird.
Verlaine, do you want me to spell the hard words?
Is it W-I-T-Z?
That's it.
A-U-S-C.
The gym.
The gym?
The gym for where?
That's where.
Shower.
The beach.
Someone's obsessed with the shower. I put it down.
The beach. Did you hear the
that's
beach?
The
yeah, beach. That's good.
Chemotherapy. You want dark beach.
Yeah.
Oof.
That was definitely the next one.
Yeah. This is going to be an interesting crowd.
CHAMO?
CHAMO. Chemo.
Although chemo could be a Japanese version of K-I-M-O.
Under words, under words, you might have beanpole.
Rice cakes.
Carrot sticks.
Salad.
Toothpick.
String beans.
Oh, string beans. Good.
Marathoner.
All right. Just for the sake of time. Oh, well, how about when? What can we put for when?
Never.
Fashion week.
Too often.
Whenever I'm going back for seconds.
How about the red carpet?
Celebrities.
Awards shows.
Movie premieres.
Under who you got to put rich people.
I was thinking about the one.
Never be too fun. Never be too thin. Never be too rich.
All right.
Yes.
So,
ballet.
Oh, ballet?
Yeah.
Under where?
Oh, yeah, ballet.
Or who?
When?
Or ballerina.
Dancers.
Any of them.
How do
you spell ballet?
B-A-L-L-E-T.
I think we should just put right. Ballet into enough. The fat people. That's funny in itself.
So how you write a gag or a put down joke is let me do this first. So let's say your what should I do? We did fat.
Your mom is so fat.
So, with these different things, how can you get a your mama joke out of that?
She says ballet, she triggers on her foot.
Say that again?
When she does ballet, she triggers an earthquake?
Exactly. Okay. That's a good one. What's another?
She lists her home address as an all-you-can-eat buffet.
Oh. All right. So, come up with some more.
All I can think of is the classic one of when she sits around the house, she sits around the house.
She has her own zip code.
Zip code, that's good.
Yeah. What are some more that you can think of?
I'm the skinny
one. Use your imagination. Use the two words that... am I spelling this right?
Imagination.
That's
good.
Yeah.
No.
Okay. And... those are the two main words for comedy. So use your imagination and exaggeration and see what you can come up with this.
Well, are we supposed to like take two of them and put them together?
You can take two of them, you can take one of them. You can take two of them and put them together. Let's see. Your mother's so fat, she wears olive oil around her ankle. It doesn't matter. Oh, all the character
right.
around her ankles. Mm-hmm. Or let's see.
Well, she makes, or she's so fat she makes Jackie Gleason look like a fashion model.
Yeah.
That comes back. Okay. Okay. She has no close pie. Could we also turn around and just say your mom is so skinny?
Well, you can do that.
Try and go from that direction.
Mm-hmm.
She has to, when she washes her underwear, it takes two loads to wash one pair.
You made the teacher laugh. That was
so good. Underwear is nowhere.
underwear is nowhere.
He's using his imagination.
That's the imagination part.
And it makes no sense. That's
a
exaggeration.
It's intrinsically funny. It's true.
What's another one?
You're so skinny.
Your mom is so thin we lost her when we went hiking at Holden.
Trees.
Okay, let me start picking them for you. Let me pick something for you. How about the shower? People are obsessed with the shower. Can you come up with one with the shower? Your mother's so fat. Something about the shower.
Takes a shower to car wash.
What?
She has to take two showers to get clean once.
All right. That's good. When your mother's so fat, she has to take a shower in a monsoon. You know?
Half at a time.
Half at a time, exactly. How about McDonald's? That should be a good one.
She accounts for all of McDonald's billions.
That's right. When your mother's so fat, when McDonald's says 1 billion sold, it means to her. let's pick, how about turnstiles?
Mom is so fast she needs grease. She needs to get grease to go through the turnstile.
That's a good one. Okay. That's
your mom is so fat that when she crashes the turnstile, she crashes the turnstile.
Okay.
Oh, mom is so fat she needs a Ferris wheel for a turnstile.
Your mom is so fat, when she goes through a turnstile, she has to go through in installments.
Your mama's so fat, instead of turnstile, she needs air traffic control. Okay, let's try this one. Let's try combining two of them.
I got one.
Oh, you got one?
That one.
Okay.
She's so fat, when she belly dances, it's measured on the Richter scale.
Oh! Someone else had one? So let's try combining a fat one with a skinny one.
Mom is so fat, she misplaced Twiggy in her cleavage.
That's good.
Okay.
What am I going to tell my kids when I get home?
What's another one? That was a good one. Well, let me pick one for you. Let's pick ballet dancing and buffet.
Ballet and buffet.
Was part of the appetizer.
How about your mama's so fat at a buffet, she ate a ballet dancer.
She was so excited at the buffet, she danced around like she was doing ballet.
Okay, but that's not insulting enough.
Your mom was so fat when she was at the ballet, she was looking for a buffet.
Okay. Or she thought the ballet was a buffet.
Your mom is so fat, she needs Warren Buffett's fortune to go to the buffet.
No. All right, that's good. So you see how these work. This is how people, they pay writers money to sit down and do this kind of thing. Now, another thing we could do, after I erase this with a paper towel, is what people like Bill Maher and Jay Leno and... John Stewart. This is the kind of thing that they do is political gags. And how to do political gags. And so we start with political things, like what's going on in the news in terms of political stuff, in terms of who, what, when, where.
Wiener.
Minnesota, Republican candidates.
Palin.
That was just too good.
Palin.
Michelle Bachman.
Okay.
The Republican candidates.
Obama.
Sure. Equal opportunity.
Obama. No, we got plenty of names. No problem with that. But what about what and words and
the war?
The war.
Pick one.
Which one?
Yeah.
The deficit.
I'll put three wars.
Yeah, really.
We know which
pick
ones.
A war.
What else? The deficit?
Yeah, the budgets.
Debt ceiling.
Medicare.
I don't know how to spell that.
Healthcare.
Close enough.
What else? Healthcare. Healthcare.
Entitlement.
Taxes.
The recession.
Yeah,
gridlock.
Climate change.
How about where stuff?
Washington, D.C.
Say fair.
Congress.
On Twitter.
On Twitter.
Wasn't Wiener in the shower? Wasn't one of his pictures in the shower?
It was in the bathroom. That's for sure.
What else?
Where?
CNN?
CNN.
Good. Fox News.
Fox News.
Internet.
Blogs.
Facebook.
Some wind stuff.
When the election?
Now is
November 2012.
What are some political words we throw around?
Sexting.
Is that a political word?
It is now.
It's joined. It's joined the group.
Campaigning.
Gridlock.
Gridlock.
Entitlement.
Tea party.
Funds.
What is your
favorite? I stay fair, dude.
Oh.
Everything matters in a stay fair.
Earmark.
Oh, that's a good one.
Penny Chad.
What was that?
Penny Chad.
Birth certificate.
Truthers.
Truthers.
That's a political word.
All right, we'll stop at that. Yeah. So, let's do some. Let's see. We got some who's. We got some. Okay. Let's see what we can. Well, let me. Here's some, who wants to read some, David Letterman? Mm-hmm. Would anyone want to read?
Oh, somebody got it.
Here's some David Letterman. Here's three Jay Leno's. Who wants to read a Jay Leno? Anybody?
I can read. He doesn't.
And Bill Maher, I got two Bill Maher's.
I can hear them.
Okay, why don't you start?
Can you start?
Yep.
Did you see this Democratic debate this week? Wow, the 6 men all piled into Hillary Clinton. It was like a porn movie. They were claiming she's not a real Democrat because she might actually win something. There's already speculation that Hillary Clinton will be a nominee for the Democrats in 2008. Well, you have to admire the dedication of the Democratic Party. They just lost an election, and they're already hard at work planning to lose the next one.
All right. Who else? Jay Leno. Who's going to Jay?
I got it. We're fighting 3 wars now. Imagine how many we'd be fighting if President Obama hadn't won the Nobel Peace Prize.
Notice what he did there. These writers probably have Obama and just a list of stuff
that
he's done, and they plug it into this gag, the formula of the gag system. Read the next one.
Republican presidential hopeful Mike Huckabee's is attacking actress Natalie Portman for getting pregnant without being married. It could get a little awkward if he runs into Sarah and Bristol Palin at Fox News.
All right. And you got one more?
I got one more, yeah.
Okay.
President Obama signed into law the repeal of Don't Ask, Don't Tell. What does it say about us that we think gay men can handle armed combat but can't handle marriage?
But you see the, you can see the formula working. All right, Letterman.
You folks around the country probably know this, but here in New York City, it's freezing cold. It's so cold today that Bernie Madoff is actually looking forward to burning in hell.
All right.
It's nice.
One more?
Yeah, read.
Okay, and down in Washington, D.C., the Capitol Hill Christmas tree arrived. These are obviously a few months old. And there was no surprise here, you know? They've got to decorate the tree. So the contract to decorate the tree, a $10 billion ornament contract, went to Halbert.
All right, is there more? Is there others?
Oh, there's at least one more. Iranian President Mahmoud Ahmadinejad also spoke at the UN earlier today. Do you know anything about Ahmadinejad? He is so humorless. I mean, just completely nothing. Absolutely void of humor. So they've asked him to host next year's Emmys.
And that was after, what's his name? How do you say that guy's name? The guy who hosted the Emmys and sort of pissed everybody off because he...
Oh, Ricky Gervais.
Ricky Gervais.
Yeah.
That sort of made everybody...
There you go, yeah.
Is there more? Is there another one on there? Is that it?
Oh, there's a couple more.
Okay.
Are you folks following the Freddie Mac Fannie Mae fiasco?
Yeah.
Do you know anything about it? It's horrible. I mean, isn't it? I mean, it's just horrible and scary. Thank God it's over. Earlier today, Freddie Mac and Fannie Mae were both adopted by Angelina Jolie. And New York now leads the world's great cities in the number of people around whom you shouldn't make a sudden move. I don't get that one. June 1st, the start of the hurricane season, President Bush is already stockpiling excuses.
That's old news.
Yeah, that's old news. So you see that connection, and here's another group that who wants to read these?
What are they?
They're redneck jokes. We did your mama, we might as well do rednecks. Here we go. You know you're a redneck when?
Your kids are going hungry tonight because you just had to have those Yosemite Sam mud flaps.
Read the ones I circled. The ones
you won't stop at a rest area if you have an empty beer can in the car. You might be a redneck if you have a very special baseball cap just for formal occasions. You might be a redneck if the Salvation Army declines your mattress. If Santa Claus refuses to let your kids sit on his lap. If there are more fish on your wall than pictures. If you think a turtleneck is a key ingredient in soup. If you're still scalping tickets after the concert is over. If more than one living relative is named after a Southern Civil War general.
That's
enough. Those are good.
Okay. Thank you. And just for the record, here's some Yo Mama jokes. Who wants to read these? Just a few. Do I see a hand?
Yeah. That's pretty good. Yo Mama's so fat, her blood type is Ragu. Here's a here's a good one for a church camp like this. Your mom is so fat that when God said, let there be light, he told her to move her fat butt out of the way. Oh, shoot. Your mom is so fat, I had to take a train and two buses just to get on her good side. Your mom is so fat, when she steps on a scale, it reads, one at a time, please. Oh, I think you get the point. Your mom is so fat that when she puts on high heels in the morning, by the afternoon, they're flats. Okay.
All right.
Gives you an idea.
So, the key to humor is to creating a joke is finding a subject, and that subject then becomes a target. And it helps if you have some irritation with that target. You know, if something about that target bugs you. And the target could be anything. It could be a person, it could be a place, it could be a thing. That's how humor is generated. It's gotta be a certain amount of animosity that you have towards the target. How many people have ever heard of mind mapping? Mm-hmm. Okay, so a good way to get at a target is to mind map. So I'll make it easy, and I'll make Holden the target.
Oh.
Okay.
Absolutely.
Now, what are some things about Holden that bug you?
No meat.
Not meat tonight.
Is it tonight? Okay.
All right. Anything else?
Yeah, bugs. Just
what?
Bugs.
Black flies.
Okay.
Super fun site. The D.
All right. Anything else?
Noise.
Noise.
Oh.
Wow.
No swimming.
What lodge are you in?
No swimming? Did someone say no swimming?
Yeah, I did.
No
swimming. No. That's the most perfect place in the
world. Only one shower per floor.
Oh, yeah, there we go. More
shower. It's only because it fit.
It's contagious.
Good on you.
I hope somebody's taking this down and submitting this somewhere.
Anything else?
Flatulence.
I'm just going to write fart.
It's easier to spell.
Anything else? Squirrels?
Oh, the chipmunks.
The chipmunks?
I'll just put rodents in general because I'm assuming you mean mice too.
Early bell.
No alcohol.
No alcohol.
Where are you?
Okay, what lodge are you in again? I mean, they don't serve it here.
Apparently, this is your first time.
They don't serve it.
Clueless people.
Thank you.
Yeah, the new people.
Oh, no. He said Holden's supposed to be the target.
Well, he keeps
guessing.
Anything else?
Wow.
What?
No internet.
Oh, that's a plus.
No, that's a
plus.
Many of these things are also pluses.
Yes.
That's right. So, except for the super fun site.
All right. So, can we agree on one of these things on the list that bugs everybody the most?
No means.
Just by acclamation, no means.
All right. We'll go with no money. So what we're going to do is we're going to write some jokes that have to do with no meat. So let me erase this. So give me a good setup, somebody.
There's so little meat at Holden.
The only meat that's abundant is rodents.
See, that's a joke in a setup.
Yeah.
That's too complicated.
We ate so much salad.
That's
that.
Like a joke in a joke within a joke.
Yeah, okay.
What was the setup again?
We eat so much salad.
We eat so much salad?
Yeah.
So, well, you got to address the point that there's no meat.
Oh, okay. All right. When I heard they
it's
don't
serve... It's got to be the truth. Just tell the truth. What's the truth?
There's no meat.
We ate so
meat.
Little meat.
There's no meat.
Okay. So...
There's so little meat at Holden that we roasted mice instead of marshmallows.
Roasted squirrels.
That there's a black market for Bacos.
It makes cannibalism seem plausible.
Whoa! The only hams you see is in the shower.
When I first came to Holden, it was like in the mid-70s, like 75 or 76. And they used to have joke-telling night. And they would sit in the corner near fireside room, and they tell these jokes. And a lot of them were Ole and Lena jokes.
Yeah.
Oh, yes.
And, sure.
So I grew up in a ghetto in Kansas City.
Yeah. Not many Oles and Lenas.
I have no idea who had no idea who Ole and Lena were. And then they'd go into these voices, these, you know, the accent that I can't do, you know. Whatever.
Don't you know?
And, yeah, and they go into it, and I sit there and think, now who's Ole and who's Lena,
Sven.
And where does Sven come from? You know, it took me a while to get the sense of humor. One of the things they used to do is they used to have these sessions, but they would not allow children in the session. You had to be over a certain age. I shouldn't say children, but. You had to be over a certain age, maybe 12 or 13, before they would let you in those sessions. And I just want you to know that this has become one of those sessions. This obsession with the shower. It's turned this into one of those.
Yeah, we're trying to keep it clean.
Yeah.
Yeah. He's talking about one language tomorrow.
Okay. Let me just say that puns is the worst thing to do at stand-up. Okay.
Puns. Okay. Yeah.
But anyway, well, let me say real quick that they have words for what they call, they either call them street jokes or hack in stand-up. And those are jokes that you would get off the internet, jokes like a horse walked into a bar and that kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. That's called street jokes, and it's called hack jokes when it's not honest. When you're just telling a joke that you heard, or that, you know, you're just telling it to be telling it. And a lot of people in stand-up, when you meet them, really think that they're, you know, that they're speaking truth to power. When you get to know guys who are doing stand-up, they're not just doing it to get up there and be funny. A lot of them feel like they really have a mission or a purpose.
Sure.
And so, you know, so just so you know, this when someone says something is hack or call it a street joke, that just basically means you're not being honest with your material. You know, so I just thought of that, so I thought I'd lay that on you. So let's continue this. At Holden Village, there's so little meat. What's another punchline you could throw in there? Now this has to bug you. What else bugs you about? And there's another way of getting at these. I call it WASP, just for lack of a better word. But it's a, what is this, acronym?
It's kind of hard to say.
For what's weird about it, what's hard about it, what's stupid about it, what's scary about it, what pisses you off.
I love it.
And so those are words that will help you zero in on your own, the thing that bugs you about. Is it weird? So you'd ask yourself, what's weird about not having meat at Holden Village? Some of us relate to things in a different way. You know, there's some of us who are angry all the time. There are some of us who go through life thinking, that's weird. Some of us who go through life thinking everything is stupid. That's so stupid, you know. So it depends on kind of where your head is in terms of how you get at your target, you know. Mm-hmm. So your target is Holden Village. How do you get at, you know, at meat, not having meat? What's weird about not having meat at Holden Village?
It's un-American.
It's true, but it's not funny.
But that was...
She's my wife. She's a plant.
Set it up.
You could make that funny, couldn't you?
I could.
He just did.
He's un-American to not have meat at Holden Village.
Yeah.
If I worked on it, I could, but all right. I can't.
Could you say something about you start to suspect that they're not really Lutherans?
Is it me?
Yeah. Or maybe you start to think they're not really from the Midwest.
Oh, that's
steak sauce on our south?
That's good.
What is that? We put steak sauce on our salad.
Steak lutefisk is meat.
There's a 12-step program for protein eaters.
It's a good thing there's no vampires because you sure can't find a steak.
Yeah.
All right. Really, so, or lutefisk starts to sound good.
Yes. The campers burned a lentil loaf in effigy. We haven't had that yet this week, have we?
They don't. But let me tell you my favorite lentil loaf joke.
Okay.
It comes from here, actually. We were sitting at the table having lentil loaf. And this guy, who knows Mike Schramm? Does anyone know Mike Schramm? Very funny guy. And he just sits there and he looks at the lentil loaf and he says, you know, there's no point in even eating this. You might as well take it, cut out the middleman, and go straight to the toilet. And you know, and it fit the criteria. It was the target was the lentil loaf, and he was pissed off. You know, and so that's how he got that joke. So, well, let's go through all of these. It doesn't have to be weird. What's hard about? That's a good one. That's usually some heat around that. What's hard about not having meat at Holy Village?
We're addicted.
It
takes a while.
Hard to get enough protein.
Going through withdrawal.
Yeah.
Don't that's your a good body one. To get yeah. used to it.
Meat withdrawal.
Spending so much time in the bathroom.
Yeah.
But not in the shower.
No shower there.
All right, spending time. One other thing. Okay, I'm pulling out these things now. But one other thing about humor is that you have to have a punchline. And it helps if you have a punch word, which means you end on the word that's the funniest. Like the guy with the lentil loaf. He goes, you know, his last word was, you might as well just take this directly to the toilet. Funny. Mm. Now, if he had said, you might as well take this to the toilet and cut out the middleman, a little funny.
No, it is, yeah.
But the funniest is toilet. You know, so when you write a joke, you not only have to have a punch line, but it's very good if you end on a punch word. You know, so what else? How about stupid or scary about me?
Scary.
Anemia. Lack of iron.
Start
worrying that you're not the top of the food chain after all.
Well, you know, you could do something with that.
Cows are relieved.
And you know, a lot of writing jokes, you come up with stuff just like this, and you sit down and you figure out, now how can I make that funny? How can I arrange that? It's a funny idea, you know. A lot of times you're sitting at the comedy club with comedians and they're sitting there and nobody's laughing, they're just going, you know, it's just you know, which means they like it, they see something in there, but you know, it's not really grabbing.
I got one. There's so little meat in Holden that the cook thinks the BLT is made with bananas.
That's pretty good. That's pretty good. All right. But you want to avoid, well, I don't know if you want to avoid it, but you know, you do want to get beyond saying there's so little meat at Holden Village, because the first thing in people's head is what?
Lentil.
No, it's how little meat is there at Holden Village. Remember the Johnny Carson thing? Yeah. You know, so you know, but yeah, that's fine. And then we'll figure out later on in the week, if some of you are here and are interested, we'll figure out how to act that out, how to make that even more funny.
There's little meat at Holden, they had to start a 12-step program.
That's good. And then how would you push that to the next level? Yeah. Add an act out to that. Hello, my name is Michael Palin, I don't eat meat. That's one way. That would be one way of taking it to that next level, where it becomes an act out, because that's what you want. You want your act, you want your act to to move. You don't want it to just, you don't want to stand there flat footed. You know, you want to move it into another realm. But anyway, we'll end it there today. Hope you like it. Any questions, by the way?
We have one more.
Yeah.
I have a question.
Holden Village is a cult where everyone thinks the cows have been raptured.
Raptured. What's your question?
Did you already explain why the dozens is called the dozens?
You know, I meant to look that up. You think I know that?
Yes, you should.
You would think I know that since I'm black, but I don't. I don't have any. I don't know why it's called the dozens.
What's the dozens?
That's dance with your mama.
Yeah, that's talking about your mother. You know, you make jokes about somebody's mother. Notice they don't make jokes about fathers.
No.
Because nobody cares. But you would make jokes about people's mothers. In hopes of irritating them, getting on their nerves.
Right. Competition.
Yeah, and then it became competition. You know, and the TV show. Who's seen the TV show Snap?
Yep.
And it is a competition. It's young people, and they split up into groups. They three or four in a group, and they just trade off
insults.
Insults, your mama jokes, and then whoever wins at the end. So.
Yep. A question. Sometimes humor, I mean, it's on the borderline of sometimes being cruel.
It is cruel.
Yeah.
And so, I mean, I sometimes have found that I get set up for a really good joke, and occasionally it comes out, but it turns out like I wish it hadn't, because it was harmful in some way. But
well, that's why comedians refer to doing a really good job as killing.
Ooh.
Because it's cruel. It's, you know, bam, you know, that kind of thing. And that's what you want in comedy. Although comics say, like I remember Chris Rock saying, you make fun of what people do, not who people are, mm-hmm. you know. Mm-hmm. And you yeah. watch that, some comics draw the line. Kathy Griffin can sometimes draw the, you know, step over that line, but.
Bill Cosby's
never
mean.
No, Bill Cosby's never mean. Although I've heard in person he's difficult, yeah. but mm-hmm. In his comedy is never mean. Mm-hmm. And there are a number of comics who are never mean. You know, yeah. Seinfeld's never mean. You know, we can list off a lot of guys who are never.
Or you can make yourself the butt.
Exactly, you can make yourself the butt, which is what. Well, I'll get into that. Yeah. I don't want to give you all my good stuff. Did you have a question?
No, I had one more.
And be the judge.
Okay. I do want to say that we have like the lead cook in here, so I think we all owe her apologies. It's really good.
Yes.
My joke was there's so little meat at Holden, which I don't mind. There's so little meat at Holden that they're going to put an Outback Steakhouse at Fields Point.
All right, well, thank you very much.
Thank you.